Loose Roses Are Worth Waiting For, written by Karina Lannister and read by Flower Parish. This is a Enola Holmes fic, rated for general audiences, featuring the relationship Enola Holmes / Viscount Tukey Tewkesbury. Enola sat at her desk, two cups of tea at hand. One had long since gone cold, and one had long since been drunk. It was the extra special new loose leaf tea with rose hips, which she'd been saving especially for this occasion, and she'd even made an extra cup for the Viscount. It was her birthday. And he hadn't even turned up. It was high noon by now, and still Enola sat waiting. He'd promised he'd turn up, so that was why she was waiting. He always kept his word. Though, the longer she sat there, the more suspicious she got. A little bit late could be classed as the madness of walking through the streets of London. It was rather easy to get stuck amongst a riled crowd or reams of horses and carts. London was a rather dangerous affair. Which was why her business was booming. If one could describe booming as having one case a week, while her brother was given many, many more. Mayhaps if she changed her face to that of a man to match her clothes, she'd get more business. No, she could not think like that. Business was slow, but when she did get business, she fared well. It was only a matter of time until word spread and she had more customers. Oh, how she wished she had a case to work on. It would distract her mind from the fact she had nothing to do and that she was waiting for the Viscount to turn up. She was half tempted to drink the tea, just to give herself something to do. Tidying her office only took a few moments. Straightening of books was all that was needed. Each one a cipher, each one meant something to her. The botanical book was the one that she cherished the most, a single mushroom etched into the inner cover to remind her of a certain someone. Someone who was causing her such inner turmoil at the moment. It was way past the time that merely traffic and people had affected his movements. His lateness was more than a coincidence. Enola was sure something bad had happened to him. She stood and grabbed her jacket, intent on looking for him, when the bell chimed, signaling that she had a customer. "We're closed." "We're not closed. She had just decided something major, and now someone dared to interrupt. She had to get going to get on the trail of Tewkesbury." After shrugging on her jacket, Enola turned towards the door and took in the disheveled appearance of someone lingering in the doorway. "You're here, ain't you? I've got a case. I can pay," the small boy of no more than 10 said, pulling out papers. Enola's eyes widened and she walked quickly towards him, pulling him inside, shutting the door and pulling the blinds shut. "You'll be robbed if you keep flashing that about. Quick, put it back in your pockets. Now, tell me, whatever is the matter?" Damn her and her silly sensibilities, Enola thought to herself, as she listened to the boy's tale. She learned that his sister had vanished in the middle of the night, leaving no trace behind, and the boy was prepared to give all his money to help her to find her. "Fine. Can you show me where you live, where your sister was last seen?" Enola's mind went straight into detective mode as she followed the young boy. She asked questions about his sister's habits and potential whereabouts. Her thoughts occasionally drifted to the Viscount. Maybe she should have left a note in case he came back. Maybe she should be looking for him instead. However, she helped this person instead, refusing to take any cash from him. He looked like he could use every extra penny, and she strongly expected that he'd stolen the money in the first place. It was more money than her mother had left her. And then she saw where he lived, and her suspicions were proved correct. It was a dilapidated building in the slums of London. "Is this where your sister was last seen?" Enola asked, as they climbed up and over the fence. Apparently, the boy didn't have a key for the gate. Quite suspicious, but Enola put it to the back of her mind. "Yes, she was here last night, but then gone this morning. Can you help?" the young man asked as Enola slipped into the single room. "I'll do what I can," Enola said, as she surveyed the room she found herself in. A few mattresses on the floor and scraps of cloth, presumably used as blankets. There was a single lantern and a wooden stool and not much else. No personal effects, and it barely looked like anyone lived there. There were no clothes either. Enola carefully looked at the stool and noted there was nothing remarkable about it. Then she looked at the lantern. broken, and the mattresses were the last thing left. There was something very wrong about this. This place felt like a trap. She took a quick look at each of the mattresses. One looked like it had been slept in the night before, and one didn't. "Do you live here?" Enola asked. She needed more information. "Yes, with my sister, like I said." "What is your sister's name?" "Maggie." "Maggie? You don't seem so sure about that." Enola straightened from where she was examining the mattress. Yes, it's Maggie." Enola rounded on him. "You don't live here, and you don't have a sister, and that money isn't yours." She was sure she'd solved something, whatever this was. The young man stepped back as Enola grew closer to him. He raised his hands, and Enola stopped her advance. Okay. No one lives here, and I don't have a sister, and a man gave me this money, and... "And," Enola pressed. He was forthcoming. He placed something in the mattress. Enola went to the one which hadn't been slept in, assuming it was the missing sister's. "And who is this he you're referring to?" As he answered, Enola found something in the mattress, a piece of paper, a ticket to the theater, the very one where she'd almost died. And a smile lit up her face. This had Tewkesbury written all over it. And it was affirmed when the lad said, "The Viscount Tewkesbury, Marquis of Basilweather." Yes, this was exactly the grand gesture she needed, exactly the uplifting moment of the day. But when she got her hands on him, she was going to kill him for letting her think he'd forgotten her birthday. "What happens now?" the young lad asked her. "Now we go to the theater and keep up this farce, Mr. Potter. Lead the way to your sister, Mr. Potter." He did, knowing the exact way to where they were going, and Enola grew suspicious when she heard music coming from inside the venue and could only feign surprise when multiple people turned to her and shouted, "Happy birthday!" when she entered the venue. She had to greet multiple people. Mr. Holmes was there, Violet was there, even the local florist was there. And then she couldn't help but bear a smile on her face when she spotted Tewkesbury. He smiled back at her and whispered, "Happy birthday," into her ear as he kissed her on the cheek. "How'd you like your birthday present?" "You know, I wouldn't have minded a cup of tea instead of all this." "But I'm sure your heart started racing and your brain kicked into gear when you found out you had a case." She could not deny that, nor could she deny that her heart was racing at his close proximity. Enola nodded at him, conceding that she'd enjoyed the rush it gave her. "Next year, step up the game. Make the mystery even better." "And what makes you think I'm going to do this next year?" Enola leaned into his space, and it was her turn to whisper, "I'm sure you enjoyed this just as much as I." Her exhaled breath warmed his neck. And when she leaned back, there was a blush on his face, and she smiled, knowing she was right. Then the familiar music of a waltz started playing, and he offered a hand towards her, bending slightly at the waist. "May I have this dance, Enola?" "Viscount Tewkesbury, Marquis of Basilweather, the pleasure would be all mine," Enola replied, taking his offered hand, and then they danced and danced and danced the night away. And then, when all the guests were gone, and only then, did they share a cup of rose tea in the early hours of the morning. The end.